We'll continue with our second session here of our class on State Mind and the Peace of God, and we'll begin at the bottom of page 2 of the notes with a section called Peacefully Radiant. This is a topic that at times has been referred to as the secret of radiant living. It's all a matter of where you focus, and what we'll see is if you spend your time focusing on yourself, you'll end up being miserable. If you end up focusing on other people, you'll become distracted. But if you focus on God, then you'll become peaceful and radiant, or peacefully radiant. So let's start in Psalm 77. Here we are in Psalm 77. Because as you can tell, much of this class today is focusing on where you put your focus. What do you concentrate on? Psalm 77 and verse 1. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. He listened to me. Psalm 77 verse 2. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord, my sore ran in the night and ceased not, my soul refused to be comforted. So he was having a tough time. I remembered God and was troubled, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Verse 4, thou holdest mine eyes waking, I am so troubled I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. People have a tendency to do that, look back on the good old days and remember how good things were. Of course, they don't remember the challenges and difficulties they had.
No.
Sometimes they do, but they just want to remember a couple of good things and think things were so much better, and they might have been better, but they might have also been just as challenging. Verse 6, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart. My spirit made diligent search. So he talked all about these old things, but again, he was looking at his own life, he was looking at his own self, he was looking at why were things so good now, and they're so terrible then, and so terrible now. Verse 7, will the Lord cast off forever? He thinks God's cast him off. And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fall forever? Fail forever? He's just looking at his own life and thinking everything's falling apart. Verse 9, hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger set up his tender mercies? And I said, this is my infirmity. That's my real problem. Then he says, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old, and I will meditate also of thy work and of thy doings. And then he goes on and talks. He changes his focus to God. But while he's looking at his own life and his own problems, and he's just miserable, and he finally gets around to changing his focus to God. But if you look to yourself, you're just going to become miserable. And the rest of the psalm, he just talks about how great God is. Proverbs 18, verse 2. An interesting verse. So all you do is focus on your own life. You're going to see problems. You're going to see shortcomings. You're going to see lack. You're going to see mistakes. And you're just going to get miserable. That's all you do. But he was like that till he turned around and changed his focus to God. And then he was better. Proverbs 18, verse 2. A fool hath no delight in understanding. Proverbs 18:2. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. That's all he wants to do, is figure out his own life and focus on his own self, and that's foolish. Nothing wrong with sorting out your life, but if all you're doing is looking at your own life, it's just going to make you miserable. So that's not a good thing, to spend all your time focusing on your own life. And I can remember times in my life where I was way too focused on myself, and when I had a chance to go out and help somebody else, that was good. where he dinner the other night in South Carolina with this woman who just wanted to help you. She just wanted to go get you a drink or some food at the buffet. Because, you see, now she was a little extreme about it, but the point was she realized it was important to focus on other people and help people. And yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah, she enjoyed it.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. And I've had times like that where I needed to go get involved in some activity or work with some other people, so I just didn't sit around thinking about myself all the time. Because you think about yourself too much, and you're going to get miserable. But if you spend too much time looking at other people, you can get distracted. Psalm 73. Psalm 73.
Psalm
73. Okay, Psalm 73. Divide the Psalms into different sections. Just some editor's choice. So, Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was what? Envious at the foolish. I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Then it goes on to talk about how the envious have so many things going on for them. But he almost slipped because he was envious at the foolish. He spent all his time worrying about them. He was distracted. It's not a good idea. And then in 2 Corinthians, well, we'll read a few more verses. Verse 4, there are no bands in their death. Their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men. Their pride compasseth. And then it goes on and on. But basically, he was focusing about the prosperity of the wicked, and he got all distracted. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 12. Corinthians 10:12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. I mean, the point of the verse is very simple. It's not good to compare yourself against other people, because there's always somebody doing better than you and somebody doing worse than you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't do any good to compare yourself against other people. What you have to do is look to God and trust God to take care of you. So, you look to yourself, you'll end up getting miserable. You look to others, you'll end up getting distracted. But if you look to God, that's when you become peaceful and radiant. Let's go to Psalm 34. Here we go in Psalm 34. Psalm 34 and verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Isn't that great? I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Then in verse 5, they looked unto him and were lightened. or as in many translations, they were radiant. When they looked to God, they just became radiant because they saw his love and his faithfulness and his power, and it just lit up their faces. Verse 5, they looked unto him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear or reverence him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear, reverence the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no lack to them that reverence him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So that's why it's so good to look to God and become radiant and have your needs supplied. Isaiah 26, we won't look at that for the third time, but we know that we have perfect peace when our minds are stayed on God. And then Hebrews chapter 12. Here we go. Hebrews 12. Hebrews, James, Peter. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. We'll go back to verse 1 here. Wherefore, seeing we also, Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about, surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, talking about the example of all the believers in the previous chapter. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, we look unto Jesus, we look unto our Lord and Savior, and what he accomplished for us by the will of God. We think about the stuff he went through, and see how he came out. Okay, let's look at that verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Because we have times when we're having a tough day, but just remember what Jesus Christ did for you. Verse 4, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. We have tough days, but we haven't actually been crucified or beaten to a pulp like he was. So we just have to look to God and his son, Jesus Christ. That's how we become radiant. So then let's see, Hebrews 3. Back up to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. So we look to God, we're radiant, and we're peaceful. Hebrews 3 and verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider, think about, the apostle and high priest of our profession or our confession, Christ Jesus. Think about him. Look to him. Think about what Jesus Christ did for us. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 4, talking about what to think about. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 18. Second Corinthians 4 and verse 18. while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are what? Not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Obviously, we deal with things in the world, but we keep our focus on the eternal things of God. Because everything in this world will melt away. Everything we do in this world will end, but not the things of God. They're eternal. So again, verse 18, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. So things which are seen are temporal or temporary. Things which are not seen are eternal. And that's good to realize, because no matter what you're doing in this world, it's not going to last forever. And if that's your only focus, you'll be miserable knowing this is too good to be true. It's going to end. Well, it will all end one day. But the things of God won't end. And that's what's eternal. And then one more in this section, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And verse 1. Colossians 3, 1. If, or since, you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection or your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. That's where we set our mind, on things above, not on things on the earth. Again, we have to deal with things on the earth, but our mind ultimately should be focused on God and His Son Jesus Christ and the great deliverance they bring us. Because that is eternal, that is ultimately reliable, and that's always there. The other stuff is always changing. So you've got to, it's a sort of a great art of living and working with your mind. You do your planning and your thinking and go about your day, but at the top of your thinking is, God's going to take care of me. I'm seated in the heavenlies. The Lord's coming back. This is great. I'll enjoy everything going on here. This is great. But whether what's going on today works out or totally flops, I don't care. Because God's promised to take care of me and His Son's coming back. That's a great way to live. You know, it's almost like, you know, gosh, I got to clean the garage, but afterwards we're going to the beach. So what? I'll clean the garage, but what I'm really looking forward is going to the beach or going out to do whatever it is I want to do. I'll just sort of go through this and sure, I'll have a nice time cleaning the garage, but what I really want to do is go to the beach. We take care of everything we have to take care of, but then we know God's going to take care of us and His Son is coming back. And that's what we do. And that's why we can become peacefully radiant. We don't have to focus on ourselves and become miserable at our own shortcomings and wondering why things aren't like the good old days. And we don't have to look at others and be distracted. How come that guy's so successful when I'm trying so hard and I'm such a mess? No. We look to God and say, God's going to take care of me. Thankful for what He's given me and just expecting Him to bless me even more. I'm just so excited about it. What a great way to live. Well, let's look at giving thanks always. What a great section. Thankfulness, I think the peace of God, I've often said, is one of the most underrated things in the world. I think another thing that's really underrated is thankfulness. Because people have such an ability to just gripe about everything. You know, we have little cute little sayings like, is the glass half full and glass half empty? And those are all cute and they're sort of illustrative of, you know, the attitude we ought to have. But on a much greater scale than that is simply realizing two things. One, everything God has done for us that we're thankful for, and two, being thankful for all the things He's promised to do for us. Wow. It's just amazing. Let's say you finally do get to your favorite vacation destination, like for you perhaps it's going to Orlando where you have a lot of family. Okay, well, you can be thankful that you finally got there. The flights worked out, the airport connections. And then you can be thankful for all the great stuff you can do. There's Mickey, and there's SeaWorld, and you get to see Grandma, and there's all these good things. Or You can be really mad because you're stuck in traffic for 5 minutes.
Because what?
Because you're stuck in traffic for 5 minutes. Or because there was a thunder shower and you got rained on. But why not be thankful for all the great stuff that got you there and all the great stuff you're going to do while you're there? And that's sort of a microcosm of our lives, because at any point in our lives, we can be thankful for everything God has done to get us to where we are today and everything He's promised for us for the future. And if we can be thankful for those, then whatever little challenge we face, and we always face challenges, won't be as overwhelming. Because we won't be just upset about that one challenge. We'll say, yes, I got a challenge here. But look what God's provided. So let's read a few things about this. And we'll probably, of course, review a few verses we've already looked at. Okay, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. Philippians 1 and verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Every time he remembered the believers in Philippi, he was thankful. Always, verse 4, in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, God didn't only give you his spirit in the new birth, but he'll be there to help you until the Lord returns. So he was thankful when he prayed for them. Then the next one in your notes is Philippians 4:6, which we've already looked at today, where it says, be anxious for nothing. You can turn there if you like, but I'm just going to recite it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. So as we pray, we're thankful. We stop to be thankful. And the more you can develop thankfulness in your life, the happier you'll be, because you'll be focusing on what you have, what God has given to you, and what he's promised to give you in the future. You've probably heard that many times, that suggestion somebody gave me years ago, to write down a list of 10 things you're thankful for and read it before you go to bed. If thankfulness is a problem for you, it really transforms your mind. Because instead of going to bed thinking about that one stupid thing that happened today, why in the world did that guy say that? Or why in the world did I do that stupid thing? Or why in the world didn't this one deal work out that I wanted? Or instead of worrying about the something you got to do tomorrow and wondering if that's going to work out, you're just thankful for all the great stuff that God's done for you. It's amazing how it changes your mind. So being thankful is wonderful. Let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for what? All things unto God, even the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks always for all things. All the time, give thanks. And you walk out the door, the sun's shining. Or walk out the door, it's cloudy. That means we might get rain. Rain's a good thing. Or it's raining. The crops will be great. Whatever it is, be thankful. Be thankful. Or maybe the wind's blowing and all the trees are falling over. Well, none of them have hit me yet. There's just always something to be thankful for if you choose to. And life is so much more fun. Sometimes I'm sitting around people who just like to gripe. And I just have to sort of get up and walk away after a while. Because it just doesn't do anybody any good. But some people just love to see how negative they can get and want to get everybody's sympathy and want to get everybody's attention with what great war stories they have. And I understand people need to vent now and then, but But if that's all they ever do is talk about how bad stuff is, all right, just, I don't need to hear it. I just, enough's enough. Giving thanks always for all things. Great. Colossians 1, verse 12. Colossians 1, verse 12. Colossians 1, verse 12. And you see there, I'm thankful I can get up and walk away and don't have to listen. Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Isn't that something? He's made us adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated or transferred us, transported us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Isn't that awesome? He's delivered us from the power of darkness, transported us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So we just give thanks for that. Colossians 2, verse 6. Colossians 2, 6. Colossians 2, 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Not trickling, not just a little bit. Oh yeah, thanks. But no, abounding. Abounding with thanksgiving. Just overflowing with gratitude. Just overflowing with it. Sometimes you meet somebody that's just so thankful you can hardly shut them up. They're just... And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's the way we should be. We should be so thankful you just can't shut us up. We're just, I'm just so glad. Look what's happened. I'm blessed. I'm thankful. I woke up this morning and there was air to breathe and there was water to drink and there was food to eat and there was a roof over my head. And then I had to come here and I had shoes to put on and a jacket and a hat and there was a car to sit in and it had gas in it and it drove and no trucks ran us over. And wow, and I'm here and I get to sit and talk to you. The point is, that should, that's a little exaggerating. If you talk that way all day, you drive yourself and everybody else crazy. But in your heart, to have that kind of simple thanksgiving that everything is just amazing that God's given it to you. And a lot of these things we just take for granted. You know, and a lot of these things you do, you go spend some time in a third world country where people live in cardboard boxes, you know, and scrounge around for wood to cook a little meal. And scrounge around for food, and then you realize, gosh, it is amazing. We have 7-Eleven. Wow. We have grocery stores with food in them, and we can afford to buy it. Yeah. Wow. I mean, just go on and on, the things we have. Or just, we have water you can drink without getting dysentery. You can complain about the EPA, but at least you can drink the water here. In most of the country, you can breathe the air, and it hasn't always been that way in our country, and it's still not that way in half the world. So there's a lot, just so many things to be thankful for. We just abound with thanksgiving. We overflow with gratitude. The more we can train our minds to focus on what God has given us instead of being worried about a problem, and then when we do have that problem, we turn it over to God in prayer. That's what we do. Thanksgiving is great. Colossians 3, verse 15. Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule. Colossians 3, 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye what?
Thankful.
The peace of God should just rule. It should be the primary thing in our hearts, and we should be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. And then it goes on. But let the peace of God rule in your hearts and be thankful. Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with what?
Thanksgiving.
As you pray, be thankful. withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So he was praying for a door of utterance to open, and he was doing it, encouraging him to do it with thanksgiving. I want you to pray for me that God will open a door that I can speak the word and do it with thanksgiving. Always with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. Here, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So look at that again, verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Great little summary. If you had to decide, what am I going to do as a Christian today? Well, those would be three good verses. Rejoice. Just be happy about what God's given you. Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And you can always find somebody that's grumpy, and you can always find something to complain about, but there's always something to be very thankful about if you stop and work with your mind a little bit and just think about it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 here.
Timothy.
Yeah, thank you. 1 Timothy. Thessalonians, Timothy. They're both good books.
Oh, we're in Timothy?
Yeah, we're in 1 Timothy. Thank you. That's why I give you guys the notes, so when I do something silly, you can remind me. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now, Paul was a pretty bright, sharp guy, and he could have felt entitled and said, well, of course you put me in the ministry. I deserve it. He didn't have that kind of haughty attitude. He was thankful. So here we go in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all expectation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So he was a blasphemer, he was a persecutor, he did hurt God's people, but Jesus Christ gave him a chance anyway. And he was thankful for that. And we all have to be thankful for the many chances, choices, new starts, and help that God and his son Jesus Christ provide for us all the time. So he's thankful that he was called to the ministry in spite of all the damage he done to God's people. First Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and what? Giving of thanks be made for all men. I just wish that all this giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. But getting back to verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So for everybody we pray for, we want to pray, we want to make specific requests, which is supplications. We want to make intercessions, that's where we're interceding. We're praying in their behalf, and we want to give thanks for them. So if I'm thinking of some person I know somewhere, I want to pray for them in general, but God will take care of them. I want to make a specific request for some area where I feel they have need. I want to intercede and say, God, I'm praying for this friend. I'd like you to help them. And I want to give thanks for them. And thanks for everything God's done for them. And so it just should be part of our life, giving thanks. A great life. And one to wrap up this section in Philemon. Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Philemon chapter 4. Or verse 4, one chapter. Philemon verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. So he was thankful when he prayed for Philemon. Paul was thankful when he prayed for Philemon. And some of the things he was thankful for, verse 5, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Philemon apparently loved our Lord and Savior and believed him. And he had this love and believing towards all the saints. Verse 6, that the communication of thy faith or believing may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Remember we talked before, you have things in the new birth, but you have to acknowledge that they're there. Tap into them. I've had that happen where I had something right there in the drawer in my pocket and I forgot I had it. And I finally realized I had it and I said, oh, I can use this. It was there the whole time, but I forgot it. Well, we have to acknowledge the things we have in the new birth. And as we do that, the communication of our believing becomes effectual. Because we realize, yes, we have the Spirit of God. Yes, we are righteous. Yes, we have manifestations. Yes, we have eternal life. And as we do that, everything becomes effectual. But going back to verse 4, he thanked God, making mention of them in his prayers. Awesome, awesome stuff. Well, let's see how we're doing here. We are making huge progress. We could stop now and have a lunch break and a nap break and then have the rest for tonight. What do you think? That sound good to everybody?
Yeah.
Good. We'll call it, as they say in Hollywood, it's a wrap.